How long did you remain at the Beaufort Hospital?
3 full school years, from 1970 to 1973.
Did you enjoy Beaufort?
If I hadn't, I wouldn't have remained that long. It was a learning experience for me. I substituted in many classes for our absentee teachers. American history, taught from a Yankees point of view, special ed classes, and all other academic subjects throughout those 3 years. With my minor in business education, I had no difficulty with typing classes, other than some reluctance by some students, who were merely taking it as an elective with no assigned homework. They were the most difficult to work with, and making the best use of the class period.
How did you deal with sharing an office during those years?
It didn't take long to follow a daily pattern. I had my records in folders. Every day I merely put my folders in my drawers, which were divided, and took the rest of the ones home I needed. My counterpart was black, and we became friends immediately. But she was married to a Marine and attended Indiana University in Bloomington. Her speech was distinct, except for some Southern patterns. She had difficulty, as did students, with the pace of my speech, and I frequently had to repeat my words at a slower pace. I still tried to remember to speak more slowly than is my normal rate.
Were there any other black counselors?
Yes, there were. The director of guidance was black, and we also became friends. He was very efficient, and he was more than adequate in his position as director. The morning shift had another counselor, a black counselor, and the afternoon shift had a black counselor and a white counselor. The director usually stayed an hour or so after the first shift ended, which is when we had our weekly staff meetings with the guidance department. The director didn't have to share his office, but was responsible for both sessions.
What reason did you leave Beaufort Hospital?
Purely personal reasons. I missed being close to your mother and your two older brothers, along with lifelong friends in Indianapolis.
How long did Beaufort Hospital remain on double shifts?
Well, at least for the 3 years that I was there, the Board of Education of Beaufort County was having a new school built near the old one being used. It was unclear at the time I left whether it would be used for all the high school students or whether they would be divided. I know the junior high school, several blocks from the high school, was overcrowded also. They had many more fights and riots, even when it was only first started with desegregation. But it got so bad at the junior high school that police officers were used on duty most of the time, and the doors kept locked. They weren't even on double sessions, just crowded. The elementary school in Beaufort had little trouble, perhaps because complete integration was not required for that level.
What did you do when you moved from Beaufort?
I returned to Indianapolis and had an apartment just about less than a mile from where your mother and her family lived. And before I got to Indianapolis, I put my application in at several school systems, and there was a call from Warren Township Schools asking me to get in touch with them as soon as I got to her house. I was elated. It was Warren Township, where my own children went to school in that district also. I immediately telephoned the superintendent's office and made an appointment for the next morning. Since a picture was required with my application I submitted, they knew what to expect. I was the right caller. There had been no integration in Warren Township whatsoever. Meeting with an assistant superintendent, we went very The schools had already closed for the summer, but the faculty of each school was still there, and they were having meetings. The principal of the junior high school was called, Stony Brook, and he came to the superintendent's office to meet me. He took me to the Stony Brook, or I followed him, and it was a new building with blue carpets in the classrooms, which was a direct contrast from the schools I had been teaching in, both in Mississippi and South Carolina. They even had janitorial service each evening, and The blackboards were being washed daily. I was hired immediately as a counselor, even though schools would be closed for more than 2 months before the school year started. It was at this time I was getting my things in order to make my first trip to Europe, and I was taking along your oldest brother, who was then 8. The superintendent's office gave me some pointers and some tips on my trip, since they had been there before, which proved to be quite helpful as I was traveling.
When did you begin teaching at Stony Brook?
I began the latter part of, I think it was August 1973. The school had only the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade students, even though they called it junior high. Freshmen were enrolled. They had over 500 students in those 3 grades, and it was a 2-story building. I was in charge of the National Honor Society the entire time I went there, and this was one of my greatest rewards in teaching. I had no discipline problems. Students were on their own a lot. We had a dance every year sponsored by the Honor Society. We had an induction with parents and teachers present in the assembly. No one knew who was going to be elected each year, because the guidance secretary took care of all vote counting and grade averaging. There were some disciplinary problems in the school, but we did have a dean of boys and a dean of girls, plus an assistant principal. So disciplinary problems didn't last very long. And it was a great joy to be teaching in such a well-supplied school. But you even had a guidance secretary, which meant I didn't have to do my own typing anymore. The years spent there went by very quickly.
Did any blacks attend Stony Brook?
Not at all. Nor were there any in any other Warren Township schools, whether it's elementary, the junior high, or the high school. No blacks were living in the district at that time, so they weren't forced to integrate like Indianapolis was. But we did attend meetings with blacks when they were held jointly with the Indianapolis schools.
Did you have any other contacts with blacks?
Well, I taught psychology at a branch of a community college located in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and it was on the north side of Indianapolis. I drove there 2 evenings a week, and they always had blacks. It was an all-male class. I don't remember why. And I always enrolled in at least one class per year at Butler University, mainly to get my certification to teach driver's ed through the summer when I didn't travel. Blacks attended Butler University, as well as Indiana University, Bloomington, Indiana. I spent a summer there with 2 counselors in my district doing a research paper for school counselors. It was about 50% black and 50% white.
Did you live alone all that time?
No. For the first 2 years I did, when I moved back to Indianapolis, my apartment was about a mile from your mother. After your sister was born, I had an addition built on the home of your parents where they lived, so that I could handle taking care of them while your mother worked at night at the hospital as a lab tech. Your mother had returned to work at the hospital, and it was much easier watching the 2 boys and Elizabeth than transporting them back and forth to my apartment when I left school.
How long did you teach at Stony Brook?
Well, it was a total of 7 years, including some summers when I was teaching driver's ed. But I had planned to continue longer.
Why didn't you?
Well, your father accepted a job with the Gas and Times through a friend of his that he worked with at the Indianapolis Star, and he thought it would be a great place to raise his family. By then, you had entered your family, and your mother joined your dad with all 4 of you children, and I moved back to an apartment again.
Did you stay in Indianapolis?
I did for 2 years, but I came down to Rainbow City every chance I got that I wasn't traveling, and in the summers and on Christmas, I spent every Christmas here, every chance I had, but it became difficult driving that far by myself. But when Cliff and I were married, He knew I was planning to move to Rainbow City, and he just said he'd go with me. And we've now lived in Rainbow City over 18 years.
Did you find a teaching job in this area?
I applied at all three school systems in the Gadsden area, but I found the school boards reluctant to hire someone they didn't know. I was even told that it wasn't what you knew, but who you knew in Etowah County, and this was by an acting superintendent of one of our school districts. But I did accept employment at the Gadsden Business College and later at New World Business College. And since I didn't have to teach there on Fridays, I substituted in all three school districts. Sometimes I would get three calls on Friday mornings, and I had to narrow down which one I... Usually the one I had accepted first, the call first, I accepted and followed through with. There was a big difference teaching students who were paying for their training in the business colleges as opposed to those being forced to attend until they were at least 16. There were no fights between the races in the business college and only the minor disciplinary problems. For 1 year, I did serve as counselor at Westminster Christian School until they ran out of funds to pay for a counselor. This is where I first met James Akers. He was retired Gadsden school principal, and he was headmaster at Westminster at the time. He also now is president of the board of directors for our food bank, of which I'm director. So we've had many years of contact.
Have you worked anywhere else in this area?
Yes. I was appointed director of 13th Place for several years. This is a runaway youth shelter, and it provides food and shelter for young people who are homeless, from ages 13 to 17. It was a rewarding experience, but was very demanding. It was open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I was always on call.
Did 13th Place accept other races?
Oh, yes. Any young person in need of a place to stay. It was funded by the federal government, and we didn't pick or choose. We accepted all young people. And many of the youngsters, if they were runaways, or their parents threw them out of the house, were provided with clothing also. If they were brought to 13th Place by juvenile probation or the Department of Human Resources, these agencies provided most of their clothes. Otherwise, their necessities were provided by 13th Place. We always saw that they had a great Christmas with donations, and sometimes counselors would take up the question themselves.
What difficulties did you encounter as director?
Well, there's always something going on. We did have three shifts of counselors, and they were all integrated. They worked 8-hour shifts, and we always had a male and female and a black and white on duty. They worked on rotating shifts, so they didn't have to work the same 40 hours each week. We also employed 4 weekend counselors for Saturdays and Sundays, 2 black and 2 white, when it was possible. Thirteenth Place was responsible for enrolling students in school, even if it was only for a few days. Sometimes there was animosity and problems in enrolling and withdrawing some of these young people, especially those that caused them to have disciplinary actions. Principals often phoned me to have students picked up, or if there's any disruption whatsoever, and I know some were discriminated against. If the young person was over 16, we could enroll them at Drake Alternative School so they could at least work towards getting them a GED. Some of them were treated very badly, and it was an often unpleasant situation, but they had to be enrolled in school in order to stay.
What are you doing now?
Well, for the past 4 years, I've served as director of the Etowah Community Food Bank, and the mission of our food bank is to feed the hungry in Etowah County. This is very rewarding and also frustrating when our money is gone that we have to purchase food, and it's just depleted. The food bank acquires the food, and we have distributors to pass the food out, and I collect reports each month. No discrimination whatsoever is practiced by any of these distributors.
Do you work with any blacks?
Oh, yes, both in passing out food and getting reports. And one of our board members is Floyd Donald. He's black and owns the only black radio station in Gadsden. And he has held his own food drive for our food bank for the past 11 years. And he is very well a respected member of the community. And they support him during...